This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, yes, I'm literally Mark Dolan, and this is Mark Dolan Eats the News, a trawl through the week's biggest stories with two of the country's funniest humans. This week, the eerily young, so how can he be that good, Jake Pickford.
Eerily young.
It's just
Benjamin
sinister.
Button style.
Listen, I'm over 40. You're in your early 20s.
Oh, thank you. 27.
Do you know what? Okay. Whenever I talk to you, it just by talking to you, it feels inappropriate. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
It just seems like that's not right.
What are your plans?
Doing?
Are you from the 70s?
I just feel I am, I'm afraid. It feels like it's in the kind of ballpark of grooming. Now, we also have somebody that is described in Hollywood as a triple threat, which is a lovely, fabulous person and also a brilliantly funny comedian and a sort of almost sinister level of ability as an actor. this is an actual true thing. It's Joe Burke. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have both of you. It's Mark Dolan Eats the News. Let's get down to business. Yes, indeed. It's been a big week. It's been a busy few days putting the show together. My producer, Jacob, has literally had less sleep this week than Johnny Depp's divorce lawyer. It's obviously been a hard time for poor old Johnny Depp, a fabulous actor, a very talented guy. But there have been allegations that at one point Mr. Depp threw his smartphone and it hit his partner, Amber Heard. It's good news for Johnny, though. As a result of this, he's been hired by Apple to test the strength of the new iPhone 7. And an LA court has ordered him to stay 100 yards away from the next Pirates of the Caribbean script, which I think is wise. Sports Direct boss Mike Ashley has been in Parliament grilled by MPs over working practices at the retail giant. He was under pressure from the MPs, but in the end he won them over by giving each of them a pair of $14.99 trainers, which you can't argue with. I mean, that's amazing. They're branded like actual Reeboks. Wow. Hashtag no brainer. And finally, Taylor Swift surprised a newlywed couple by performing at their wedding. Taylor Swift, I'm telling you, I shit you not, as they say in America. That's nothing. One of the Chuckle Brothers came to mind.
You didn't even get both.
It was actually a bit creepy.
To me, oh.
He was a bit creepy with my Auntie Julie. Now, we are therefore going to hit the ground running with some of the biggest stories of the week. Great to have both of you here. In a kind of serious political way, the only story in town is Brexit. Mm. In a sense now, there is nothing else to talk about. There could be a nuclear bomb in Birmingham, and it still wouldn't be a bigger story than whether or not we leave the EU. It dominates. Even if you're not interested, you can't avoid it, can you?
Nope, not at all.
So, therefore, where are you, briefly, straw poll-wise, where are you both at? Because here's what I'm really, really surprised about. From my kind of just my life experience of day-to-day just going about chatting with people, I would say at least 90% of the people I've spoken to are unsure, torn, divided, and just generally, you know, worried.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows. But to be honest, I think we should leave EMU because he's useless without Rod Hull. So that's my
style. Well, he is. He's just been holding him back for years.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Do you even care? Do you care? Do we care about this?
Yeah, I care. Yeah,
I care. The Pickford cares.
Yeah, I care, but I only care because I don't want the Tories to have that level of power. I don't think the EU is a good thing, but I think that while the Tories are in power, we should stay in the EU, just because I don't want a Tories bill of rights and I don't want the Tories to have full control.
Listen, you've made a brilliant point that I have heard no one raise at any point in this whole debate, which is the following, which is the EU acts as a tempering influence on any British administration, whether it be ultra-left like Jezza Corbyn or whether it be to the right, let's imagine under Prime Minister Johnson, for example. That's a good way of looking at the EU, is it's a tempering influence.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of like how the Lib Dems were when the coalition was involved. The Lib Dems obviously stopped the Tories from doing quite a lot of things, which was tremendously good. And now, obviously, the Tories are in charge on their own. Mm. The EU is kind of like the Lib Dems right now, in that they're shitty. Nobody really wants them, but they're kind of a necessity.
Well, and Jean-Claude Juncker is Nick Clegg, is he?
Yeah, something like that. Angela Merkel's Nick Clegg.
They right. need a little rose garden announcement.
I'm just trying to think of Nick Clegg in a kind of Angela Merkel-style trouser suit.
Oh, steady. That's a sexy image right there.
He could carry that off, I think.
It's a good look. I mean, that's, you know, I normally when elections happen, people are quite tribal. You mostly have people that say, I've always voted Labour, and you have the true blue Tory supporters. Yeah. And then, of course, what tends to swing elections are the undecideds, the floating voters. Whereas I feel this is an election or a vote in which everyone's a floating voter. I'd say there's like a minority of hardliners who are one way or the other. Mm. And everyone else is like, well, I'm not sure.
And that's if it's not fixed. That's my view as well, you know.
Yeah.
Does it matter? Would they let us vote if it mattered?
Get you, conspiracy theorists. Later in the show, Joe Buck on 9/11. Were you right to question the validity of these things? And also, what I think's troubling is we don't know who to believe, do we? Because, I mean, my sort of... I've got a sort of non-scientific view of this, which is that there are arguments for both sides, but if I look at the people who are on the Brexit platform, they're like all the nutters. It's like Farage. Ian Duncan Smith, Michael Gove, Farage and Boris Johnson, people that you would not allow even 10 minutes alone with your children.
I'm just going to say babysit your kids.
Rupert Murdoch as well.
I mean, forget about going for a pint with. I'm not sure that... So therefore... I just think in a kind of personnel-wise, the Brexit guys are just like a walking advert for why we should stay.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Unkind?
No, it's a good point.
No, I mean, it's a perfectly valid point. Yeah, I've never agreed with those people before. But in the same respect, I rarely agree with David Cameron. And on this issue, I am.
I mean, look, here's what I think. I was talking about it the other night. And I think the following, which is that I think it's a lesser of two evils. I think it's a choice of shit and very shit.
Yep.
I think that's actually where we're at. And I think if we accept that, then it's easier to make a decision. If you just accept that staying is going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there probably will be quite an unbalancing number of arrivals in the country. We know that our social services and public services are struggling already. That is not, I don't think, a racist or intolerant thing to say. No. So you've got that. But the flip side is if we leave, I think it's more rubbish, because I think what you do is it's the unknown. You're going to have to make a deal with the EU anyway. I mean, do you know what it's a bit like? It would be like splitting up with your girlfriend or boyfriend and then going back to them in a month's time and saying, I'd like now to have a different kind of relationship with you where we still have...
Yeah.
We still have sex.
Exactly.
But you're not called my girlfriend anymore. I mean, good luck with that.
That happens all the time, doesn't it?
This is what
in my world.
Sometimes. This is what I said to someone the other day, is that it's because people are comparing what we would become to like people like Switzerland, who have never necessarily been in the EU. They've been a trading partner of the EU and they've been involved in other parts of it, but not specifically a member of the EU. But you can't use that as a comparison, because Switzerland have never been with the EU. They've never been in a relationship with the EU. They've just had a fling, friends with benefits. But we have been in the relationship. We can't break up, like you're saying, and then go back a month later and be like, listen.
But that's what you do in a relationship. So that's what we will keep doing, surely. We'll keep going back for more.
Well that's it.
Until divorce.
But we can't... if we split up with them now, they might not take us back. They might see our flaws.
They might. It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean,
I think the other thing that I've sort of pointed out in the past is that I feel that it's a club mentality, which is that the EU is a club and we're in that club. And I happen to think it's human nature to kind of look out for people that are in your club. Now, I know that it's a club which is quite divided and we're not the most popular member of the club. If it was like a drinking club, Britain would be the ones that keep getting thrown out for getting drunk on a Friday night and just upsetting people and being inappropriate.
Us and the Germans fighting outside.
Exactly. But it's still, and it's the same with, you know, when we're working in comedy and entertainment. I am represented by a management company and there are other comedians who I'm on the books with. Now, there's no reason why I should have any special extra bond with them, in a sense they're my rivals, but because I share an agent with them, I feel like there's a kinship. And, you know, and therefore, oddly, I think that's a psychology that's happening in the EU, is that we're in the club, and therefore, I think they're more likely just to, like, for example, there's been a lot of goodwill from the French when it comes to Calais and the camps that they have there, which many people are saying will be completely torn down if we leave the EU. There's no reason why the French should take the people trying to get to the UK. We'll have to sort it out at Dover, things like that. So if we leave, you do have this feeling that they won't, you know, we go from being sort of pals or a member of the family to the enemy, I would argue.
Yeah, that is a weird weird argument, though, isn't it? I mean, if we leave the EU, we'll have to be responsible for our own borders. I mean, shouldn't we be doing that anyway? Yeah, like, regardless of whether we're in the EU or not. A lot of the arguments that I've heard against the EU have been things that we should be doing anyway. And the focus and the anger and the disagreement is focused on the EU as a scapegoat rather than actually looking at the fact that our government are just not doing things that they should be.
So at this stage, are you able to tell me, you don't have to, it's a private ballot, but are you in a position to tell me, first of all, will you vote, and have you decided yet?
Do you know what? I'm really bad. I don't think I'm going to bother.
Oh,
I know,
really?
That's terrible, isn't it?
Why, Jo Burke?
Well, because I just don't think that... I think the spin doctors run everything, and I genuinely think, even if everybody voted to stay in, if they wanted out, we'd be out.
Wow. So you're not going to vote because you don't think it's an authentic
I don't election. Think it matters. I don't think what I put in a box is relevant, because I don't think they even look at what anyone puts on the box.
But the thing about it is, I mean, okay, you know, you may have that conspiracy theory. The problem is that we can't live our lives like that.
No.
You actually have to just hope that there's no conspiracy. Do you know
can,
what I mean?
You can, and you're welcome to. I won't.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I also think why everyone should vote, even if it's no or yes or a spoiled ballot even, is that this is a rare example of a vote which is not tied in with any weird electoral process. Like, for example, where I live in Haringey, it's pretty much a safe Labour seat. So you could argue there's not much more point in me voting for Lib Dem, Conservative, Green, because it's a Labour seat. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And therefore, because obviously that's how every constituency is, like a little election in its own right. And you've got safe seats, and then you've got those marginals. And the marginals, it's fun to vote when you're living in a marginal, because your vote could make a difference.
Yeah.
But not when you don't. But this is one where, in principle, it doesn't matter where you live, every vote will be counted. And it could be 49% to 51%.
Like the Scottish referendum was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did you think that was fixed? Because I did.
Well, I'm frightened to say, because you're all looking
no,
at me.
No, I did. I thought it
no,
was
you're
fixed.
Entitled to your... I mean, look...
I genuinely don't think any of them are fair. So I just
well, they're not,
genuinely really. Believe that they will do what they want. And I think the outcome will be that we'll be out, because they want us out, because then they can control things easier than if
but
we're
why,
in.
But why... If you think they... First of all, who they are. But also...
The Illuminati.
Exactly.
But you've got the government. You've got the Prime Minister of the land, and the vast majority of MPs in the House of Commons. I believe it divvies up to around 20% of MPs in Parliament are for Brexit, and 80% are to stay in. All of the main parties, Labour, Lib Dem, SNP, Conservative, are for stay. The Prime Minister, the business world, and by the looks of it, the media too. So surely if there's an agenda, which is a valid point, would it not be the other way?
Mm-mm.
Well, now you say it like that, Mark, it does sound very sensible.
But here's the thing,
Jake
is
Pickford,
that,
hit me
that,
up.
So firstly, the Tories didn't get the majority of the votes. They got the majority of the agreed votes when they got into power. So there was a majority of people in this country that didn't want the Tories to get in, and therefore don't agree with David Cameron. If you add on top of that the fact that UKIP got 3.1 million votes or something like that, that's a lot of people that probably hardly... like. Proper agree with Nigel Farage to their very core, you know? And then on top of that, you have the man who controls predominantly controls the media in this country, Rupert Murdoch, has come out and stated that he is very adamant that he wants us to be out of Europe.
Is that right? Is Murdoch
yeah.
out?
Yeah, Murdoch's
yeah,
definitely out.
I think his exact words, I'm paraphrasing slightly, were something on the lines of, when I go to 10 Downing Street and tell them what to do, they listen. When I go to Europe,
I saw that.
Nobody's even
wow.
heard of me or something like
yeah.
that.
Wow.
And so you have to consider where people get their influences from. Most people I've spoken to in London on the Remain side, But most people I've spoken in London are also left-wing and quite Labour-supporting.
I'm the same as Mark. Most people I've spoken to don't really know. It's completely split. They're not neither Arthur nor Martha.
No. Are you going to vote yourself?
I'll vote, but I see...
And have you decided which way to go yet?
Yeah, I think that we should stay. Okay. But as I say, it's not because I respect the EU. It's not because I agree with them. It's just I think that they are required at the minute to stop total and utter destruction of certain things.
Yeah. Okay, so then here's the next question. What do you think's going to happen, Joe? You're not going to vote, but what do you think's going to happen? You can tell me that. You can make a prediction.
Well, I think I think it'll be out.
Okay. And what does the pickmeister, the pickdog think?
I think we'll be out as well.
Really? And why? Well, you think because that's what the establishment want?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I saw... Yeah, yeah. When you say establishment, you mean the hidden establishment.
Yes, exactly.
I agree.
The faceless.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I think that the people that are sort of conditioning and programming us without even us realising, the propaganda machine wants us out.
I made a brief visit to a really great NHS hospital on Monday with my young son, and he was taken care of, loved the NHS, and... I was just chatting with a nurse who has, she's of African backgrounds, and she wanted out. And I'm amazed by how many people who, you know, have, you know, I mean, I'm an immigrant myself. My parents are Irish, you know, my wife is German. Mm. You know, I'm not sure how many people are really indigenous here anyway, but I'm amazed by how many people who are not, you know, sort of English indigenous are actually for Brexit themselves. It seems surprising to me and maybe a little bit hypocritical.
That's not free movement of Europe in Europe though, is it? That's not Africa's not part
of the Schengen agreement. It's a very, very good point.
So she would probably not be affected.
It's a good point, and anyone from all the people from the EU who live and work in the UK do want to stay, obviously.
But yeah, and it works the other way as well. The 1.4 million Brits living in Spain, you know, there's millions of reasons why we should stay.
Well, listen, we've got a very big show coming up. We're going to take a look at open relationships. Do they work? Your weird habits and foibles off the back of a bizarre condition that we've read about where sufferers amputate their own limbs. A woman identifies a boy who was secretly playing with her dog in her garage. So I want to know what your good crimes
adorable.
Have been.
Yeah, I love that.
And
so
also,
much.
Every week there's a zoo mauling story.
Yes.
So therefore, are we a bit over zoos now? So we'll do all of that. But first, we're going to talk about America after you've heard this. What we're going to do, it's FUBAR Radio. It's 12:17. And here is a pre-recorded message about this.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
There you go. Now, let's have a quick look before we play our first record of the show, which is a brilliant tune, Curtis Mayfield, No Thing on Me. Before we do that, let's just take a look at Hillary Clinton, who has secured the nomination to run for president. Of course, the nomination from her party, the Democratic Party. She's going to be facing Donald Trump. So here's the question about Hillary. Lesser of two evils? Question mark. Mm.
Oh, God.
We're back to... It's like EU. It's rubbish and more rubbish, isn't it?
It's shit or diarrhea, isn't it? It's how runny do you like your shit?
Wow.
Isn't it?
Who are you saying is the lesser of the two evils there?
Her, isn't it? Surely.
It's got to be. I would have thought.
Wow.
No?
But maybe not.
Here's the crazy conspiracy theory, right? So Hillary Clinton is definitely evil. Like, she got like, a paedophile off of prison in 1974. She's got, like... She's done loads of dodgy deals with the IRS and...
I mean, these are obviously allegations.
Yeah. So
she's
it's
not
cool.
here to defend
say
her position.
no, I'm, of course, that's allegations, and that may not be true. But
you feel that there's a whiff of scandal around Hillary and Bill that won't go away.
Yeah, there's a lot of scandals. Whereas here's a conspiracy theory, right? Donald Trump is a horrible individual. However, there is a huge majority of voters in the US that don't vote because they're disenfranchised, disengaged, and feel like their voice isn't heard. Mm. He has captured those people and getting them to vote. Now, he is against the system. The only thing that him and Bernie Sanders actually agreed on was the fact that the system in America is set up in a way that only sort of helps and benefits the elite.
Yeah.
So, crazy conspiracy theory, what if Donald Trump is only capturing the imagination of those voters that are disenfranchised so he can get the majority, get into power, and then destroy the system from within?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. He's an idiot.
I think that... you just took the words out. I said, I do not think that he would be intelligent enough to have thought of that.
He's not.
That's the thing. I think when you get these sort of crackpot mavericks in power, I think what tends to happen is that they tend to fail because they are not skilled...
in anything.
Statespeople, yeah. Because I think what you've got to understand is that to be a public figure and a politician, it requires a certain set of skills.
Yes.
Mm. Clearly, he's not a stupid man. I think the things he says are stupid. I don't think he is stupid. But if you look at the way that Obama has sort of negotiated to make some of his Medicare, Obamacare stuff happen, that's been a nightmare. But he's managed to get some of it through, just to kind of have some kind of movement, inching towards, you know, poor Americans having health insurance. He's inched that forward with brinkmanship and deals and late night meetings in smoke filled rooms. And that's the reality of government. It's not just kind of making speeches and opening hospitals. It's a hard, hard job. And I think what will happen if Donald Trump gets in is that he'll find that out very quickly, that sound bites don't really cut it. Once you've got the top
once
job,
you're there, yeah.
And he'll have to work with Democrats in Congress and all. And I don't think he's got the skill. He hasn't got the people skills. He hasn't got the communication skills, or indeed the vision to do it.
And plus the fact he spends a lot of time, obviously, spray tanning, and that, you know, he's got to have
it's half
time
the day
for that. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Gluing on that,
and obviously
hair. He must have a wig wrangler. So
wig wrangler, is that the official term?
I don't know. Josh has made that up, but you know, that's quite a lot of that's a chunk of any president's day, isn't it? Really.
Of course it is. I don't know, really. I mean, I think you, Joe, as a female of the species, ought to be really excited, as I am as a male of the species, at the idea of the first female president. But you feel like this is the wrong female.
No. Yes. If it was Michelle Obama, I'd be happy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, that's giving up.
I'd
let's,
be delighted.
Let's be honest, that's going to be in 10 years' time, isn't it?
Well, I do hope so. And then I'll be fully behind that. But no, I can't get behind either of those two. Actually, I would like to be very far behind them.
Well, it's also
running in the opposite direction.
Exactly.
Well, if you had to choose, then if you've got Trump, who's the maverick who doesn't have any baggage around political corruption, I think we can probably safely say that. Mm. Would you take Trump over Hillary then?
It's such a Hobson's. I just don't make me choose.
Yeah.
How about you? The pick?
I think Hillary. I think that maybe Americans are looking at it like Hillary Clinton will basically be returned to the status quo. Trump will be a huge shakeup in the system, but I don't think it'll be like that. I think that if Hillary gets in, it'll probably be more detrimental because of the amount of things that will be blocked. I think if Trump gets in, he'll probably get assassinated within a week.
I hadn't thought about that. Let him in.
You know what I mean?
Like, get him in now.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I think personally, I'd take Hillary over Trump all day long, and I'll tell you for why. Because although there's bound to be corruption, I think I'm going to go a bit Joe Burke here, and I reckon corruption is just a thing anyway. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think we're stuck with that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, almost to be in power is to be corrupt by definition.
Yep.
And what I think is that Hillary's core values, and also the values of her party, which is the Democratic Party, which is slightly more left-leaning than the Republican Party, I just think her values are better, and therefore she'll probably be less belligerent and gung-ho in the Middle East, less willy-waving, which is, I think, what is the problem with the Republican Party.
Well,
in terms
you all tend
of
to get that with a lady. Internet, less willy-waving.
It's going to be hard. Although I've heard Hillary's even got a penis. That's
really?
How, that's what
I won't be surprised.
She's a double threat. Yeah, I think it's bills.
Bill. I was about to say, yeah.
That and came off years ago.
It's in a jar, formaldehyde, in the Oval Office.
Now called Monica.
All right, well, listen, before we go into our record then, you guys jumped at the chance of talking about a very sweet story in which a woman was looking at the CCTV footage of her garage.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of people have a kind of a video camera and for security reasons. And I think she just gave it a quick once over and was just watching. So I don't know why you would do that. I don't know how.
No,
if that's your
odd
idea of kids,
yeah,
is to sort of sit down with a big like bucket of popcorn and Coke and
watch
just
your wheelie bins.
Put your feet and up and watch your wheelie bins. Really strange.
I trust those bin men.
Correct.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's a bit strange. But she saw footage of a little boy, and it's happened all the time, which is that he would leave his bike at the bottom of the driveway, and then he'd run into this garage and just cuddle this dog, which was her dog, for like 10 seconds and then run away and get back on his bike. And it happened often.
Yes.
Anyway, she's got the footage. She goes on Facebook and is like, I need to find this kid. And within a day, I think his mum went online and said it's him. The child is now in jail. And
oh, no, he's not.
I think, and so is the dog. The dog is in the kennels. of course that they were sort of united, and a lot of people wanted to know why the kid was doing this. They thought it was a bit weird, and she said it's because they had a dog for many years and that dog died, and it's a big commitment having a new dog, and they were just going to hold fire for a year or two, as you do when you lose a pet. You don't want to get straight back into it. So adorable, and I believe that the dog and the boy have been reunited, but it's just a very sweet, heartwarming story.
It's amazing. It really does warm your cockles, doesn't it?
Adorable.
It's such a sweet, lovely, loving thing to do.
Maybe that's what Hillary Clinton needs to do.
Hug a
just
dog.
Turn up. You know, we've had kissing babies for elections, haven't we? Maybe she needs to crowbar garages open and cuddle mastiffs.
Do you know, there was one weird thing I thought about this story, which is she's obviously got security cameras in her garage because of security purposes.
Yeah.
So why is she leaving her garage door open for a 10-year-old to go and stroke a dog that's clearly not vicious? It's not a very good guard dog.
It's a rubbish
didn't bark
guard
at
dog.
Any point. So it didn't alert her to the fact there was someone in her garage. So she just had cameras and a garage that was open.
I agree. I'm tempted to find out where she lives and burgle her house.
Let's go burgle her.
Not because I want to, but just to teach the woman a lesson.
Yeah, and let's take a dog as well.
Yeah.
teach a little kid a lesson about getting over
pets. Take the dog, the wheelie bins, the small child.
Yeah. If he's there, why not? We get a free bike.
So this is a question then. The follow-up question is, in a sense, this is what the boy's done is like, it's not a crime, but obviously it's his mum, the boy's mum did say, look, we had a chat and we said that you shouldn't really be going onto other people's property and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a slightly sort of naughty crime. It's the kind of criminal equivalent of a white lie. So have you guys done, like, slightly good crimes or crimes which are easily forgivable? Because I've got to say my life is made up of good crimes which just improve the quality of my life, like, by 11% every day. So there'll be things like this. Nothing gives me more pleasure, and I feel bad saying this now, but there you go, got to be honest, than using someone else's bin when I'm walking down the street.
Oh yes.
It just feels great.
Yes.
Just yesterday I threw a banana into someone else's bin in a residential area in northwest London, and it just felt good. It was like a punch the air moment.
Wow.
I did, by the way, I don't want to be a hypocrite, I would say that sometimes I come home and I find stuff in my bin which is clearly not of the Dolan thing, and I just think, well, it's a fair cop. You win some, you lose some.
Well, it's true.
But first of all, is it unacceptable? Is it okay? What is your view on other people's bins? Have you ever used someone else's bin?
Have I? I'm just trying to think. I think I have done similar, actually.
Especially when it's the bin putting out days, because then the bin is on the street.
Because it's on the street ready. Yeah.
Ready.
But that is a good crime, isn't it? Because you're not putting it on the floor.
It did, yeah.
So that's perfect.
I think I went over the top yesterday because I took this 15 minutes trying to get a mattress into this bin. And an old fridge. And it's really, fridges are stubbornly heavy.
Oh, yeah. You know. Persuasion. I've got to wonder, though. The only time I feel bad about doing that is if the bins have just been emptied. And I'm like breaking their bins.
See, that's when I like it best.
See, yeah, that is
the drop.
I love an empty bin.
Now, to me, that is a crime because that has been done to me. Because then you need to get the old power washer inside the bin because you put stuff in a liner in the bin.
Yeah.
And then if someone chucks a coffee cup or a banana skin mug on an empty wheelie bin, then that festers, doesn't it?
Yeah. Also, well, I must say, the stuff that goes in there is never wholesome, is it? When I look in there, it's always like
condoms.
Oh, is it?
Always condoms.
I'm living in the wrong part of London.
Without fail.
Syringes.
Wow. Well, I was thinking more, what I get is like empty cans of Lucozade and Coke Twix bar wrappers. And I'm just thinking, well, you guys have been bad. But then again, in about 5 years' time, you'll probably have type 2 diabetes. So then I win.
Yes.
Karma.
Yeah. I've got to wait a long time for the punishment to kick in, but it will.
It will, yeah.
In pancreatic form.
Yes.
Worth it.
So you've got that. There's also going to a cafe and saying that you're taking away and then eating in. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time.
I don't think I've ever done that.
I think I do that. But it doesn't really... it doesn't make so much difference price-wise now, does it?
I'm sure. Yes, it does.
Sometimes. It does in King's Cross.
I'll tell you how much it costs you.
How much?
20%.
That's ridiculous.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm up 20% on a lot of those then. I do that.
Because what it is, you see, is that if you take it away, then it's food, and food is not subject to VAT.
Not necessarily if you're a McDonald's.
What is it if you don't take it away?
I know, it's a good question.
So yeah, food and children's clothes are not VATable. So if you buy some children's trainers or something, or booties, or if you buy a sandwich from Pret, whatever it is you buy, some biscuits, it does no VAT because it's considered immoral to put VAT on food because we've got to eat. So that's fine. However, if you have it in, you go to Pret a Manger and you have it in, then it's considered like you're eating out. It's a luxury. So they put the VAT on that. So it's very simple, really. If you have a sandwich and it costs £2, then if you stay in, it will cost £2.40.
Yeah.
So therefore, what I do is I say I'm going to take away in and I eat in. But I don't enjoy the food because of the guilt.
What about if you just stand by the door?
I was just going to ask that. I was genuinely...
It's nice and air-conditioned by the door, yeah, usually, as well.
It's perfect,
so you get a little breeze.
It's a good loophole. We found a legal loophole.
Bring your own chair.
Yeah,
like,
this is nice.
Also, I think it's a sad world if eating in Pret is considered a luxury.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Have you tried that cheese and tomato?
I draw the line at that. Oh. I do draw the line.
Are you joking? It makes Greggs makes Pret look like Claridge's. I think you'll find.
Oh, I like Pret a lot. I'm on Team Pret.
I think Jane Burke is making too much money in comedy because she thinks Pret is chavvy.
She needs
a reality check.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, totally. I need to come up.
They're like the upper class one. They're like when you don't want to go Costa because you feel self-important. You've just been paid. It's like, oh, Pret and Monge.
Okay, and my final one for you. Eating food in a supermarket before you get to the checkout.
Oh,
now, it's clear you're going to pay for it. Don't get me wrong. Because it would be shoplifting if you didn't pay for it. But getting through half of it before you arrive at the checkout and then the lady has to scan a half-eaten sandwich.
See, I've never done that. Have you done that?
Yeah, I do it with drinks quite a lot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do it with drinks quite a lot. Yeah. I get thirsty walking around.
I know. It's dry blackthorn cider instead of Artois.
White lightning.
I tell you what I like doing in supermarkets, though, is walking around with my own bag and not one of their baskets and putting what I'm going to buy in my own bag so that all the store detectives think, she's going to steal it, and then you just go to the checkout and take it out of your bag and put it on.
I know what you mean. It's a lovely feeling.
Yeah,
I always feel that John Lewis is a bit confusing in a lot of department stores, which will have sometimes four or five floors.
Yes.
Mm. And you can go around clutching. You can have a variety of things.
Yes.
A DAB radio and
mattress,
mattress, correct.
New fridge.
Nailed it.
I am going to pay.
Country casuals. Skirt.
You need a little forklift just to drive around, John Lewis.
Those little golf buggy things.
Yeah. A Segway and a granny trolley.
But it feels good. It feels like a little criminal act, even though
it
you're
does.
Not. It's a kind of the illusion of crime.
It really is, though, because you do feel naughty, don't you, moving something from one place in a shop to another? Because, like you said, John Lewis is massive. And
The thing about it is there are probably all sorts of bylaws about these things because, I mean, with regards to the wheelie bin thing, that probably does annoy some people, especially people that live near a football ground or something.
Yeah.
That's a real headache. And also the old eating in a cafe VAT thing is also quite, you know, if the customs and excise wanted to crack down on it, they could sort of snatch the smoked salmon and cream cheese sandwich out of your hand.
Force you outside before you take
they
another bite.
They can appropriate that... skinny decaf latte.
Maybe.
With vanilla whatever in it. They could have that.
You don't go Pret very often, do you?
No.
Vanilla whatever.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
They don't do that in Greggs, that's
no.
What
I'm afraid not. So, brilliant. Well, you're listening to Mark Dolan Eats the News in the company of Jake Pickford and Joe Burke. We play a record and we'll be back. And we're going to talk about a couple of things. So we're going to talk about a footballer who has banned his wife and children from attending Euro 96 because he's afraid of terrorism. Has it affected your... Sorry, I've gone mad.
Euro 96.
I really hope Gaza plays on Friday, by the way.
We'll give him some tissues.
I think so.
I don't think he had to do that ban.
I think the only time you'll see Gaza running is in the alcohol section of Lidl. But anyhow, look, Here's the thing. Euro 2016. Are you affected in your life by terrorism? In other words, have you stopped shopping in central London? Would you not go to the Euros because of the threat of terrorism? Would you not go to a rock concert? How has the fear of terrorism affected your actual behaviour? Because you've got a footballer here who really is walking the walk in terms of his concerns. We've got to find a wife for Prince Harry because I'm tired of all the speculation.
Hello.
And also off the back of Noel Edmonds and his yoga mat, which he claims cured his cancer. The question is dying your fault? It's FUBAR Radio. Here's Curtis Mayfield. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot of work to do.
I've met many people over the years, and in my opinion, I have found that people are the same everywhere. They have the same fears, shed similar tears, dying so many years. The oppressed seem to have suffered the most in every continent, coast to coast. Now our lives are in the hands of the pusher man. We break it all down in hopes that you might understand how to protect yourself. Don't make no profit for the man. I'm so glad I've got my own. So glad that I can see my life's a natural high. The man can't put no thing on me. I'm so glad I've got my own. So glad that I can see my life's a natural high. The man can't put no thing on me. You're something kind of funny. How the man take your money. He
Dolan Eats the News on FUBAR Radio.
In the company of comedian Jake Pickford and comedian and author Joe Burke, whose brand new, best-selling and highly regarded new book, Ice Cream, is out. And Joe, it's about dating, isn't it?
It is.
Which is a hot topic.
It's always a hot topic. It will never not be, really, will it? That's the thing.
It will never not be at all.
It will never not be.
Now, I'm thinking that in previous generations, I think of my parents who are about to celebrate a very special wedding anniversary.
How many?
The big 5-0.
Oh, that's wow. Amazing.
That's awesome. Incredible, isn't it?
Congratulations.
They've been
to
married
them.
For 50 years. Not happily, unfortunately.
I was just going to say happy for what? 10?
No, a lot of fighting.
a lot it's a of victory, though.
Yeah, it still is.
You know, no, they're an incredible couple, incredible people, amazing partnership.
Meet?
And they met in Dublin, in Ireland, of course, which is where they're from. And my dad was in the pub business, and my mum was in nursing.
Heavy drinker.
Yeah, in the drinking.
She used to sit there just caning. Jameson whiskey was her tipple.
Nice. Ooh.
She won those drinkers that would ask for the bottle rather than, do you know what I mean? Just leave it there.
Hashtag
I'll
straw.
Take care of this. Exactly. And it's an amazing thing. But back in those days, that's sort of, you know, those generations, you'd have like, in a way, dating was quite well organized because you would have dancing and there would be a dance hall.
Yes.
And you'd have all of the guys at one end and all of the women at the other. And then what would happen is that as the evening went on, the guy would pluck up the courage to sort of walk across the no man's land of the dance hall over to his chosen potential partner and say, would you like this next dance? And dancing was a good way of the selection process because you'd have someone ask you to dance. So they've sort of chosen you and you could choose to be chosen or not. You'd say yes or no, which was quite simple, quality control. And then another amazing thing would happen, which you would be dancing with this person and then someone else would try to break in and say, can I come in here? And in a way, that is just nature and reproduction in a microcosm, isn't it?
Yep.
We don't have the dance hall anymore.
We don't, but we have Tinternet.
What you've described is exactly the same as online dating.
Is it really?
Totally,
except
yeah.
much more painful.
Metaphorical dance hall, right?
It kind of is.
You go over and you say you like them and then they can either reject you or accept you by swiping left or right.
On the old Tinder,
So,
right, so, okay, so let's get into this. Why did you decide to write a book about dating?
Literally, I didn't. All of my friends said that I should because I was dinner party entertainment for all of the years that I was doing it because literally every time I met my friends, they would go, what's happened now?
Yeah.
What's the last one?
It was a soap opera.
It was completely and utterly. And in the end, I thought, do you know what? I am just going to start writing these down.
Good, yeah.
And then before you know it, you've got a whole book.
Yeah, it's amazing. So when did you start? Were you an early adopter of online dating?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was the other thing. I was doing it way before anybody admitted to it. Nobody would have admitted to it.
Because internet dating used to be frowned upon as like it's for the people who can't get someone, isn't it? Which is certainly not the case now.
No, but and also when you're an early adopter with something like internet dating, what happened was it was only the computer nerds that were on it, really, because were the only ones that actually were au fait with the whole internet process.
Right. So you dated like sort of Bill Gates for
IT
a while.
IT geeks, yeah. Steve Jobs, all of those.
Wow,
yeah.
Lovely, yeah. How did that work out?
Yeah. Oh, you're like the iPhone, it's a rubbish idea, it'll never catch on.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And so therefore you put it, and obviously you've got like, there's good stories and bad stories, right?
Yeah, well they're mainly just all funny story. I mean, it's just hilarious, as anyone that's read a profile in their life or written one.
Does this go for all dating, or do you think there's something unique about online dating which produces the best stories?
I think unique about online dating.
Why is that?
Because if people come up to you in a pub, which nobody does particularly now, not very often, do you do it, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how
good.
Jake and I met.
Is it?
We were
all right. Treacle, can I get you a treacle?
A big Wetherspoons in Wimbledon. It was great.
I honestly don't remember the night.
The thing is,
Wetherspoons.
All I remember is it was curry night.
Yeah, that's right. And you brought that bottle of Jameson's over.
And my chicken booner tasted a little strange. Yeah. I don't remember the rest.
Yeah, Rehypnol. Yeah, exactly. Done.
So, did it work? Did you find love?
Do you know what? I did eventually, and on Tinder.
Really? Amazing.
Perfect.
Hilarious.
So would you say that it's got better? Like online dating has become a better way of finding love than it used to be? Does it work now?
I still am not I don't think actually online dating anymore does the emailing to and from. I think things like Tinder are the way forward, because it's just so much more like actually walking into a bar, because what you do when you walk into a bar is go, oh, she's nice or he's nice. And that's exactly what you're doing on Tinder when you're swiping.
Should we have any concerns about our sort of society falling apart because of something like Tinder, because of the freedom you've got, like people not settling down with someone because of all the choices out there?
I know so many people that have been with their partners for a long time now and they met on Tinder, so I don't think it's a bad thing.
I blame the way that people look at love.
I think
I'm going to sound really naive and I don't know, whatever here, but I think that love is people look at, if you look at like the odds of us, for example, being born, is exceptional, right? So we're already amazing just for the fact that we exist, right? Now, if you look at the chances of, like, we evolve every 7 years. Like, after 7 years, every cell in our body is different from our spine to our taste buds. You know,
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
Taste buds renew after 10 days. Spine is generally 7 years. But after that, you're completely different people. So the chances of you meeting somebody that you fall in love with, and then after 7 years, you're still in love with them, and after 14 years, you've both changed, but you've changed and you've remained tolerable of each other, is insane to imagine that. And I think that people should look at love binary, like, as in that there isn't a one, there are a series of ones, and you just simply increase your chances of meeting those people by going on Tinder. And that we don't ever really have to settle anymore, because we now have that pool of opportunity to meet people has expanded so much. So before, it was like, if they went to the disco and you went to the disco and you happened to pluck up the courage to talk to them and you got on really well, fantastic. But you really had very limited options of meeting other people at that point. But now there's how many dating apps? Hundreds, probably.
Well, that's the question. I mean, it's the age-old question about the internet and online and apps and everything, which is that, does the facility of it change our behaviour? Like, on a darker note, there's a really interesting debate to be had about whether paedophilia has grown because of the internet, because the internet facilitates the sharing of appalling material, or was it ever thus, it's just that we didn't know about it? It's like, it's really a question about, you know, online and technology and social media. Is that the tail that wags the dog, or was it always the dog?
I think it was always the dog. I think all media does, and those things that just make it more accessible to everyone, for everyone to know about it, you know,
more out in the open.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it.
And what about habits? Like, because do you think it's less likely that you'll have couples together for 50 years, given that you can get married and, you know, the day after your wedding night, you can be on Tinder seeing what alternatives are out there?
That's you as a person, that you're just immoral if you're doing that, really, aren't you?
No, I still think people.
But before then, you didn't have that. So is that not a temptation that might make people.
But that's like saying people didn't have affairs then. I mean, they did. That's just human nature.
But do you have more affairs if it's easier to have affairs?
I don't think it's ever not been easy to have affairs. If you want to have an affair, you can have an affair. If you want to be faithful, you can be faithful. It's just, it depends on the morals of the person.
It's true, yeah.
It doesn't matter what's available to do it. If you're determined to do it, you'll do it.
So actually, probably our core values stay the same.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you're a bit of a philanderer,
and you always will be. There's no escaping that, is there?
Yeah, it's probably hiked up the degree, but if you're there to begin with as that kind of mindset, then it's just enhanced your ability to do that.
Well, Joe Burke, Ice Cream is out now, available Amazon.
Yes, definitely.
And all good
you can
shops.
Download it. Yep, and it's just the princely sum of the $3.99.
That's nothing.
Yes, it's
an absolute
nothing.
Bargain. EZE Publications.
Yes.
Really good quote on the front.
I don't know who that is.
This is a hysterical
no idea.
Funny, warm and wise. Is she still single? I'd quite like to date this woman. Highly recommended. Mark Dolan. Who's he?
Ooh.
So that's
an elaborate ploy to get you in the studio.
See, it's just another conspiracy,
it
isn't
is,
it?
Isn't
it's
it?
How the world works,
it
you
is.
See. I've got a Joe Burke agenda.
Yes.
Everyone should.
Yeah. I think that's the name of your next book, The Joe Burke Agenda.
I love that idea.
So speaking of finding love and all of that stuff, two stories which dovetail from the news on that. First of all, Tracy Cox, the sex author, has written an article about whether or not you should let your partner cheat if the other one doesn't want to have relations anymore. What do we think? Open marriage? Yes or no?
No.
Never. Really?
You're sitting here with two hopeless romantics, so
totally.
Your feeling is, let's say, obviously, you don't want to have, probably, if you have an active love life, you wouldn't have an open marriage. That would be a bit illogical. Hmm. But it's like, if one partner has turned off of that activity...
It's just settling, isn't it? I think people just settle into things.
Yeah, but also, like, if that is all your relationship is, that's quite sad, isn't it? Because eventually we're all going to turn off to that subject at some point and hopefully still be together. I mean, your parents have been together for 50 years. I'm sure they are not doing the same things now as they were.
It's funny you should say that, because my mother joins us on the line now.
Hello, Mrs. Jorlin.
That was quite accurate. All right, so that's fine. That's a clear answer for me. And then the next one we have, which dovetails with that, which is Prince Harry, who has been linked with... I mean, this is going to happen now. Until he settles down, he just has to shake hands with someone and it'll be a story. Ellie Goulding is the latest. He was also photographed with Bruce Springsteen's bassist's daughter.
Really?
Okay, a little bit of a selfie with her. Okay. Body language, wow, look at those two. He's clearly an eligible young man. I mean, he's got to be... Is he the most eligible man on the planet? He's a prince. He's not
probably
bad.
The most
not bad looking.
Ginger
is he?
Man on the planet.
Well, the thing is, he's a bit of a hottie, isn't he? The chicks love him.
He is.
When he goes to America, it's almost toxic for him. The response he gets there is unbelievable, because he's like an English prince and he's you know, nice guy.
Yes, out of the two, I think they're both lovely. But he obviously, because he's got less pressure on him, he can be the one that does things.
He's going to be the fun prince.
Pops up a bit, takes a while to settle down because he can.
Well, that's it. So I mean, the question is, what does he do? How do we get him sorted out with a girlfriend?
I honestly could not care less about this story.
Worrying about this.
I don't hate the monarchy. I just don't care for them, really.
I think what it does prove is how hard it is to have a relationship if you're like a prince. It's a nice...
That's what we were wondering.
Isn't it?
I'm not a fan of the royals either, but I do love those two boys.
All right, so who do you fix them up with? Who's available?
Who's out
there on the market?
For Harry.
Rihanna.
It'd be nice if he found someone called Sally, wouldn't it?
Harry and Sally. When Harry met Sally, that'd be lovely.
Are there any Sallys? Any eligible Sallys? It's not so much a popular name now.
It's not
is
a name
it?
You get. I'd say the mean age of Sally is probably early 60s now. So that would be a story.
That's not going to work.
Old names are coming back. They're coming back now. Yeah,
he needs a hot Sally.
Or a Maud. Ethel, maybe.
It's all happening.
How about we set up a Tinder profile of Harry?
I'm sure someone has. I'm sure. There is already one.
Oh, no.
Or
yeah,
Twitter. Has he got fake Twitter accounts?
It'll happen eventually. What we have learned, the royals have learned a lesson, I think, wisely with Kate Middleton, which is to let the royals have something resembling a normal life, to actually fall in love with someone and get, then they've got like a tiny chance that it might work, just because it always helps if you love each other.
It kind of does,
and I think that's the way Harry's going. But what he's doing is, he's doing what we would all do if one morning we woke up and we were prince, which is a prince.
get me out of this coffin.
Prince,
tiny singer.
Prince tends not to wake up in the morning anymore.
Oh, no.
Prince is now definitively not a morning person.
No.
God rest his soul. But anyhow, look, well, let's crack on.
Yep.
Let's talk about the fact that for some reason we've had a flurry of zoo stories in which children have tumbled into lions' enclosures and gorillas' enclosures.
I think parents are frustratedly throwing them in, aren't they?
Then there was I think that's...
Shut up!
Good way of... It's a good childcare, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And there was a little boy, a really great GIF. Look how 2016 I am. GIF.
GIF.
It's a terrible word. It needs a better word, doesn't it?
It's pronounced GIF.
Is it?
No, I have no idea.
No, that's SIF now.
I'm going to sound about 80 and call it a short video clip.
Oh, which I thought you meant the lemons.
On repeat. Exactly. And there's a little boy, and he's at the zoo, and there's a glass wall, and he turns his back.
I saw that.
Turns his back on this... tiger and the lion, and then the lion just sort of pounces for him.
Yeah.
And then the line from the zoo was, he was just playing. Didn't look like playing to me.
Yeah, all right.
That's not my kind of playing. That's like when you go to the park and you're being someone's Staffordshire Bull Terrier is hacking your leg off. Like, you're just being friendly.
Careful, I've got one of those.
Have you really?
Amazing.
I'm not going to mess with you anymore. So, I mean, zoos. What do we think about zoos?
I'm not a fan. The last time I went to one was Chessington. That's how long ago it was. And it had a little monorail, I don't know if it's still got it, that went over all the cages stroke enclosures. And I can remember seeing some polar bears, and it was about 82. And I can remember looking at them and thinking, this is all manner of wrong. This is not your home. You do not belong here. You look sad. You look hot.
Yeah. I mean, the way you got to look at those polar bears is they're technically illegal immigrants.
Coming over here.
Yes.
They're taking spaces in the zoo that British polar bears should probably rightly have.
Yes.
But the problem is British polar bears don't want to be in a zoo because they're just...
non-existent.
Well, they're in social housing watching Sky TV and wearing Nike trainers paid for by us.
And they're probably hoping for Brexit, so...
So zoos, no thanks.
No thanks.
I have an internal turmoil problem here that I love looking at animals, and I want to go to zoos, but every time I go to a zoo I get sad at the fact that I've gone to a zoo.
I've got a simple solution, by the way.
What's that?
And it's this:
YouTube,
which is clearly the main argument. Yes, there is YouTube. The main argument for, or just go to Joe Burke's house and look at this wild untamed creature.
I'll show you a picture of the wild untamed creature in a second, wearing my sunglasses.
Oh my god.
10-year-olds come and stroke it in secret when you're not there.
Oh, I'd love that. He'd love that. He's so rubbish.
So here's the truth. I think that the main argument for zoos is that if you've got a species which is almost extinct,
yes,
it does make sense that you get like the pandas together.
Yes, because that's always gone well.
Well, I know. But in the wild, it's even worse. You've got to do everything you can. Well, do we believe in keeping species going?
Not the panda. No, fuck the panda. No,
really?
If they can't help themselves.
Do you know what, right? No, if they have more than one baby, they ignore one and just let it die.
They're too lazy
things.
For love. Don't help them.
Yeah, no, sodom.
But I think what we should do is, you obviously want to keep some species going, and therefore what you do is you have places where that happens, but you just don't have it open to the public. Mm. You just take care of the animals, because then I think there would be fewer, because if it wasn't an attraction, you wouldn't need to fill it with so many animals.
That's true.
So you just have it almost as like a zoological society, which exists, but behind closed doors, because then it will just be pure science rather than an attraction. Because what you can't do is, if you lose zoos, you're going to lose species. That's, I think, quite clear.
You're right. Or I was just thinking you could just change what you put in zoos and put people like Hillary Clinton and Trump in them, and people can just go and look at them and show them children to them and say, this is what will happen one day if we release them.
We're going into the Nigel Farage enclosure now.
Don't get too close. Yeah.
It sounds perfect.
Now, before we go, can you please tell us your social media handles and get plugging as to where you're at and what you're up to? Because this is enough, what they've heard today, to want a hell of a lot more.
Who's me first? Yay. Joe Burke Comedy on Twitter. Follow me, please. I've got like literally one or two followers, so any more would be marvellous.
Oh, you are too modest.
And you can buy my book on Amazon. It's called Ice Cream, for the princely sum of £3.99.
That's absolutely nothing. That's an absolute joke. That's a steal. Jake Pickford, your Twitter handle.
Twitter handle at Jake Pickford. Website, jakepickford.com. I've also write a blog, which is called My Life on Antidepressants.
Nice.
I know, yeah. everything else there.
It sounds absolutely immense. You're both brilliant comedians and amazing on the radio. It's been a real treat to have both of you. Thank you for helping me to eat the news. It's Mark Dolan now with you again next week on FUBAR Radio, which is the UK's largest ad-free online radio station and the fastest growing as well. Let's play out with the Beatles. I'm a Loser. Don't go anywhere. More FUBAR magic coming next.
I've known she would win in the end. I'm a loser, and I love someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Although I laugh and I act like a clown, beneath this mask I am wearing a frown. My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her? Myself that I cry. I'm a loser, and I love someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. I'm deserve such a fate. I realize I have left it too late. And so it's true, pride comes before a fall.